Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everybody. It's another episode of Glamour. Hey, it's okay. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. And I promise you today, we have such an exciting guest. It's going to be way more than okay. I would even venture really quite good. Yes, welcome. I'm really, really excited. Number one, because the famed, absolutely crammed, sweaty little pod cupboard box that we have. Is that a bit of a clean out? And we've got about another
it's huge
foot and a half of room.
It's enormous.
It's incredible.
I can see a set of Lego over there as well that I didn't see before.
And the person absolutely getting excited about Lego is, of course, Glamour's deputy editor, Lindsay Frankel.
Hello.
And we are so excited to have this. For me, completes the set. I've never met you before. The wonderful Mel C.
Hello.
Hi there. I was saying to you earlier, I have met all the Spice Girls except you.
You know, it's quite unusual. I meet lots of people that have met some of us, but I've never been anybody's last. Some would say you may have saved the best to last.
Yeah, well, I think let's be the judge of that in about 22 minutes from now. No, but congratulations on your new album.
Thank you very much.
Tell me all about it.
Well, this is my sixth album of original material.
And it's called Version of Me.
It's called Version of Me, yeah. And I've had quite a big gap. My last album, The Sea, was out in 2011.
Yeah.
And I've done lots of different things in between. I played Mary Magdalene in an arena tour of Jesus Christ Superstar. I toured with the wonderful Jules Holland. And I also was a judge on Asia's Got Talent.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a busy few years. And the difference with this record is, rather than focusing on making an album, doing everything in between, just it took longer, but it also kept things fresh. And I lived in between, and there was a lot more to inspire me. And I think it's made for a stronger record.
Do you know what? There's very little, actually, that I envy when I look at the lifestyle of famous people. It's not, do you know what I mean? It's not, so I don't want to be chased by the paps. And what I do really envy, and tell me what you think of this, is that idea of dipping in and out of different things. And okay, so I'm going to work my nuts off for 6 months doing this, and then I'm going to have a year off. And do you find when you think, oh, I'll just pluck this project and then I'll do that one, is that exciting, or is it a bit nerve-wracking thinking, well, what happens after this?
Like, do you know what? It's been so incredible because I've found that things have just happened, you know, because you would think, oh, gosh, you know, I don't know what's around the corner. And you do start to feel a little bit concerned, but then something comes up. And, you know, it's always been that way. And for me, because music is my first love and I see that as being my career, although I have these great opportunities to do other things, that if things do get a bit quiet, I can lock myself away, I can start writing, start working towards an album. And then I get to this bit, which I love, is when you release it and you get on the road and you're able to play it live. So you're right, it's actually a very envious position to be in. I agree.
Yeah. And but what, how does writing an album work for you? Because that's another thing, I'd be rubbish at being a pop star, you know. Sort of like listening to Taylor Swift on her album talking about her writing process, she's like completely she's 100% lit all the time, motivated all the time. Mm. And I think sort of music artists especially, they seem to be the type of people who, they don't write because, oh God, I've got another album to do. Mm. They write because there's just no bodily option not to write. Do you know what I mean? It's such a passion.
So you don't wake up in the morning going, oh God, I've got to write another album.
Well, you wake up thinking, yes, I've got a whole day of writing to do.
Well, you know, no, you don't every day, you know, and this is what I found, which has been better this time around, because I haven't put pressure on myself. I have gone and written when I've wanted to. And Taylor Swift is such a great example. I mean, she's such a talented girl, isn't she? She's prolific in
her
writing.
Yeah.
But she's very young and she's very full of energy.
Yeah.
But you know, myself, I find I work and collaborate with great people, and that really keeps things energized, and it's always quite unique. You know, you can work with someone that many other artists have worked with, but you never quite get the same thing, you know, so that's always exciting. And life just keeps happening, and for me that is my inspiration, and predominantly it's the darker stuff that brings out the better music and lyrics in my opinion. But it's quite hard to write upbeat songs that aren't too cheesy.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of the sadder stuff and the emotional stuff, which is hard.
And you have to have a bit of life, I guess, to be able to write that stuff, don't you?
Absolutely, And it's been really nice, this record as well, because I am a little bit older now and I do feel different. I feel more confident and more courageous. And so I've kind of dipped into things from the past that I was frightened to talk about before. So it feels quite empowering, this record.
That's something that is great about getting older.
Yes.
You just don't care.
Don't care.
I mean, I used to be so terrified of embarrassment, and anyone who's listened to even half of these podcasts will know fear has long left the building.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah. You know, it's like everything in life. You know, there's good bits and bad bits. And I would say the good thing about getting older is that not caring, just priorities being different. It's so liberating, isn't it?
But back to, I just want to go back to the music for a minute, because obviously your career is iconic. You know, you're a bloody Spice Girl. It's just bizarre. We've actually managed to get a Spice Girl to agree to stand in this cupboard, and I'm so sorry.
It has had a makeover there.
Like, yeah, it's kind of.
They tidied up when they heard you were coming.
But how has your attitude changed? Because obviously you started in a band that was put together by outside forces, and now you're writing music for yourself. Has that been a difficult transition? Have there been times where you've had to fight to do exactly what you want to do in music post Spice Girls? Or,
you know, I think the difficulty is trusting your own instinct, and I've had lots of different parts of my career, and the funny thing is with the Spice Girls, although we were auditioned and we were put together, but once we left our original management and we went out on our own, we realized that we all wanted the same thing, and we were super focused and really determined, and it was just lucky that what we wanted was so marketable.
Yeah.
You know, we went in studios, we worked with great songwriters, but there was this incredible energy, which there still is. If you ever, it's quite rare, but if you get the five of us in a room, it's something to be reckoned with. You know, as soon as Emma came along, she was the last person to kind of make it into the band that it became. Something magical happened. It was like this jigsaw puzzle, and the final piece was there. So all through my career, you know, I've been so fortunate in that what I've wanted to do has been what people want me to do, you know. I think there's been times in my solo career working with bigger labels. Of course, people are putting money into you, so you do have to listen to opinions. As a young person, you can feel pressure in that and think people know better. But now I'm older, I self-finance, I have my own independent label, and it's really nice. I just felt this time, I've got nothing to lose.
Mm.
You know, I have no expectations with the record. I just want to make something I love. And in doing that, I think I've made one of my best albums.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I just want to go back. You, I speak at a lot of universities and high schools, and a question I get that I find difficult to answer is, how do you know when to trust your gut? Is that something you can answer? You said, you know, you just have to learn to trust your gut. How have you?
You see, I think we do know. I think we really know. And it's just having the courage to just go for it. And, you know, at times I've wavered. I've trusted other people's opinions over my own. And then sometimes when things haven't gone to plan, I've been so frustrated, because I really believe if you're going to make a mistake, make it yours and not somebody else's.
Yeah. I know, I agree with you. And it's always the hindsight. It's like, oh, I knew I was right.
And there's nothing more frustrating, is there? It's like, I knew that didn't sound right to me.
In a minute, actually, let's talk more about, you know, just having those arguments with people that you try to win. I'm not sure there's a way to soundbite this "Hey, it's okay" conundrum, ladies.
It's a very snappy one.
Hey, is it okay to have weird or conduct weird pre-arguments in your own head? And the thing is, the minute I mentioned this to Mel earlier on, she was like nodding furiously. Lindsay and I were talking about this. And I hope I don't get fired for telling this story, but I, you know, that'd be nice. I wanted to win an argument with my boss. It was a sort of like, you know, as they a money issue, and I was like, and I was lying in bed, I couldn't sleep. I was like, but well, he's going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and then he's going to say this, and I know I have to say this. So when it all fired up the next day, hadn't really slept, and I started, I prepared my speech, and it didn't go at all the way I thought. I was really looking forward, in a way, to this big argument, and he sort of went, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, that was, and it was like completely deflated. It was great. I kind of won.
No, but you shortchanged you out of a fight there. That's really disappointing. You had your killer line and everything.
So thank you, Nicholas, for seeing my point of view, but I was all prepared for you to not see my point of view, and it was so weird. But I do it all the time. I do it with, I don't know, everybody from the bank to my husband, and then he's going to say this, and then I'm going to say that. Is it? Am I mental? I don't know.
No, I think it's really important to do it, because you have to be prepared in this life. It's important, isn't it? And I do it not only with arguments, but with interviews and things.
Do you?
You know, yeah, because I just think, oh, what if this comes up? I need to have a comeback. And, you know, in we all have those times in life, don't we, when we need to have a talk. You know, those horrible words that have to be said sometimes. And because I think you need to work out how you feel. And something I find, which is, it's almost like therapy being interviewed sometimes, because I think you say things you don't even realise you thought. And you get to learn about yourself. So I think even if you're doing that in your head, it's a really important thing to do.
But I think it spills over into a bit of a dangerous thing, where I'm getting so wound up about the thing that I've said in my head that person's going to say.
And they might not even say it.
And I'm angry with them, or I'm upset. Yeah. And it's sometimes it keeps me awake at night, having that. And it's actually no good when you, and I've tried so hard, and, you know, we work on a magazine, we talk to therapists all the time, and they tell you to live in the now. You know, just don't assume that they're going to say this. Don't assume that this is going to happen. And I find that so difficult not to go down that road. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really hard, isn't it? Because you never really know what somebody else is thinking. And we just all have this perception about each other, don't we? Which is really hard to stop that.
And it's probably, I mean, if you ask a therapist about it, I'm sure they probably tell you that there's something in there that you're trying to justify something that you might think you need to justify. So it's all about what you feel, really. It's not about the other person. It's all of the, you know, these whole other subconscious issues going on. But the reason why I fight in my head with the people who own the garage over the road and I think are going to park over my driveway even though they haven't, I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe there's just not enough to occupy my brain. I just don't know. But I can do that. I can have the most idiotic, trivial, made-up conversation or made-up fight in my head.
I think you're getting prepared for that time when you're the twitchy curtain lady.
And it's like, what do you mean when? I'm totally the twitchy curtain lady.
Quality hours in that. It's like, it's true, though. It is a bit twitchy curtain lady, isn't it, to think that way. But it's interesting what you're saying, Mel, about interviews, because it must feel like such a combative situation sometimes.
It really does.
And you must also, I'm not expecting you to name names, but you must have those particular journalists who you know are going to interview you like a hostile witness. And do you get wound up about those situations?
Well, I think it's more about the publication that you're doing. You know, obviously they'll have a reputation. If it's a tabloid newspaper you're going to speak to, then you are on your guard. And, you know, not only in how you answer questions, it's like literally you can't even make a joke sometimes. Things can be taken so out of context. But again, a little bit of age, a little bit of wisdom, you have to let these things go. And thank God for social media, because you can just set the record straight instantly.
It's true, but it's even when you are being really, really careful, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but like your Little Mix comments. Which, and I think there's a lot of, and I'm a huge fan of Little Mix.
Me too.
I know you are. But I had similar feelings when, you know, there's some joke about in that new song they've got, there's some joke that your 11-year-old daughter's singing about, oh, I hope she doesn't have to fake orgasms like I do. There's some sort of line like there. And then you do sort of think, God, where is all that coming from? And you guys didn't really do that.
Yeah, you know, it's a much wider discussion, I think, than pop groups. And what's really upset me is how the media have handled this, because I have been asked about it. And, you know, like yourself and like you said, I'm a big fan and I really support them. I will continue to support them no matter what. I don't think it's their responsibility, the sexualisation of children. I think it's a much bigger thing, you know. It's about society, it's about culture. And young women are going to dress the way they want to dress, but why do they want to dress like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. You know, I was a Madonna fan, I still am. She was singing like a virgin and doing naughty things on stage when I was a teenager. Yeah. I didn't know what she was doing.
I didn't know what a virgin was when I was singing that song.
There you go, educational.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's always been there. And it's funny because it's also, you know, I've had to look at myself and look at the Spice Girls. And our second single, Say You'll Be There, we were in the desert. You know, we were wearing various degrees of PVC and tying up a man. Didn't think about it. We were completely naive. But I just think things have become a lot more graphic and it just seems more saturated and more acceptable. And so I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm just asking the question, why? And is it okay?
To me, it just seems like there's a lot of guys at the helms of record companies going, you know what sells?
Yeah.
But having said that, I think if Little Mix were here right now, I would applaud them for wearing next to nothing leotards, because it's bloody hot in here.
They would have dressed wisely for the day.
Well, you know, I don't think for a second those girls aren't wearing what they want to wear, because that's how young girls, not all young girls, but that's how a lot of young girls want to dress these days.
Yeah. Do you have daughters?
My little girl's 7.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It does make you, you know, it just does make you,
you see it in a different way. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is all far from where we started. But have you, I am a bit of a head case when it comes to having those arguments in my head with people.
I think that maybe there must be something, it must be good for you in some way.
I think it's more than okay. I think it's good. I think it's positive. Be prepared in life.
Hey, it's good for you.
It's probably not okay when I have a recurring dream where my husband stays out all night.
Which he never does. I know your
husband.
And
I'm phoning him and going, where are you? And he's going, look, just chill out, all right? I'm just out with some chicks.
Now, is that a dream or is that reality? Because I feel like I've been there a few times.
I mean, there's a lot of people in here who know my husband who are wetting themselves laughing because it's so not my husband.
It's very unlike him.
And it puts me in a terrible mood with him for the entire day.
It's poor guy.
So funny how they can affect you.
So yeah, so that's a bit mad as well.
Well, you know, maybe I think it's okay.
I think we just conclude that I'm a bit mad, but you know, we all knew that.
In a
we're
good
all
way.
Mad. We're all a bit mad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Next very, very important question that you are sweating to death to answer, Mel, in this cupboard is, hey, is it okay to be a grown-up and still not be able to do grown-up things? I think we're all probably guilty of a few.
Yep.
I'd say my guiltiest secret is that I'm absolutely aghast at the people who can't do the grown-up things that I can do. But I'm still very infantilized about certain things, and I'm okay with that as well.
What can't you do?
Well, my poor husband gets such a pacing on this podcast, but I keep sort of saying to him, what if you get hit by a bus? I don't know how to put the boiler on. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to control the temperature. I don't know how to use the Sky Q. I don't know how to do it.
I like that you're not that worried about him getting hit by a bus, but you are worried about the temperature in your living room.
I have a child who needs central heating. So, you know, it's like, this would be my first concern. But obviously, I'd be devastated. But and he always says, no, because now I know I'm of use to you. So I'm not going to do it. Is there anything you can't do, Mel?
There's many things that I can't do. I do think I'm quite a responsible adult. But of course, you know, when the Spice Girls went crazy, I was 24. And before that I was a student, so we all know students don't do very much at all. I'm not you know, obviously I'm talking about myself there.
No, I couldn't cook till I was about 30.
Yeah, same.
Oh, you see, I've always been okay at cooking. My mum kind of gave me those basic life skills, but one thing I can't do is
my mum sound bad, doesn't it?
You can't iron.
Iron. Oh, yeah. See, I quite like ironing.
Can't do ironing.
See, I hate. I could do it if I could be bothered, but I don't like it.
Mel, how much will you pay me to do your ironing? Because you know, journalism, it ain't that great a game for making money. And I know you're very busy.
I'm busy. Good at it. I've got loads of ironing. As
I thought you were going to say I've got loads of money.
Not anymore. More, I used to.
Then she had a child.
But you know, back in the days with the Spice Girl, so from jumping from being a student to a Spice Girl, you know, I've not really had to be a
you didn't have
up.
To learn those just, basic things like getting a mortgage or
and I'm paying bills even. You know, just
God, that must have been awesome.
It's so awesome, but it's kind of scary too, because you just think, you know, if it came to a point, luckily, someone still pays my bills. But if it came to a point where I couldn't afford to pay somebody to pay my bills, then I would have to learn how to do it.
Mm. It's an honesty moment. Well, this is a really awful question. Thinking back to the Spice Girls when everybody did everything for you.
Yeah.
What is, do you think, when you look back now, what do you think is the most arsehole-ish thing that you asked somebody to do for you?
Well, I suppose even still, it's the things like, you know, getting you a cup of tea or... You know, I get a lot.
What a diva!
I get my shoes fastened quite a lot. I mean, this is one. Oh no, I can't. You can't even go there.
It's just us in the cupboard.
Listeners. No, I'm not going to go there. Have a little thing.
Have a drink.
Yeah, I can't think of the things. To be honest with you, I'm really not that much.
Was
of a
Jerry
diva.
The worst?
No, do you know what? As a band, we were all right. I like to think that I have some independence.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you are super busy and there's somebody there to do those, you know, what could seem to be trivial things, it's quite hard asking another grown up to like put your shoes on for you. I mean, that's you know.
To be fair, though, they were some mighty platforms that you girls just used. Like, you know,
once you're upright on them, you don't want to start bending down trying to do straps up.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I still feel, as this might sound pathetic, but I do get a bit of a thrill if I can kind of sort out the MOT and the car tax. I feel like, ooh, look at me, I'm such a grown up. And also because my husband doesn't do any of those things because he doesn't drive, so I'm the driver in the family, mm-hmm. which also makes me feel like a brilliant grown up. And I kind of have this slight like, oh, look at me. I mean, I'm really useless at dealing with the mortgage or the Sky. I mean, I can't work our telly either. That's the thing. He can't leave me because I don't know how to work the telly. You know, and those sorts of things are slightly pathetic. But I do get this real like, oh, I do. Every time I go to the garage, I still feel like a bit of a grown up.
A bit proud of yourself.
Yeah, a bit proud of myself, no. Which is also quite pathetic.
But it's funny, isn't it? You know, you've both talked about your partners and, you know, the things they do and the things you do, and you're a team.
And I think
that's what makes it okay. We can't all be good at everything. Yeah. You know, thank goodness we have our weaknesses and we have our strengths. And let's play to our strengths. That's what I say.
But I think if there's a spider in the house, we both want to call the police. We're going to the other extreme now. This is a question that Lindsay Frankel posed to me not more than 35 minutes ago. Hey, is it okay to eat like a toddler? Now, I'm going to hold it. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. We've gone from, is it all right to not be an adult, to is it okay to eat like a toddler?
I'm obviously regressing today. Yeah. I don't even know what made me say it. It just like popped into my head.
Something about your egg sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know. I was eating like quite a childish sandwich, basically. But I do. I love eating like a toddler. My favourite thing to do is, because I eat healthily most of the time, and I know that I'm meant to have lots of spinach and kale, and I do do all those things. I eat my oily fish with the omega-3 and all of those things. So there's nothing I love more than a fish finger sandwich when my husband is out, and then I spread tomato ketchup all over it, and it is like a toddler got allowed to make their own tea by their mum.
Does he not let you have fish finger sandwiches?
He doesn't really care, but I would be slightly embarrassed if he saw me eating fish finger sandwiches every night.
Well, isn't that interesting? I think that's the thing, isn't it? You can eat whatever you want, but it's how people see you, isn't it? It's how it's perceived.
Yeah.
When you said eat like a toddler, I thought you meant physically eating like a toddler, which I
sometimes
do
that as well.
All the time. You know what I do?
And this what, is like mashing it all over your face?
Well, kind of like sometimes I will lick the plate.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just so it makes it easier in the dishwasher, you know, for the dishwasher to wash it. But my little girl says to me, "Mummy, you wouldn't do that if there was other people here, would you?"
Oh,
no, which I would not.
Which is quite the benchmark.
I just hate how much they're onto us. I can't bear it. They just deserve everything.
Also, the thing about, because actually, now you talk about like eating physically like a toddler, yeah. I do love a bit of mashed potato with some baked beans on top.
Yeah.
When I'm having toddler tea, and
this is a thing, this is a hashtag right here.
Toddler tea.
Toddler tea. Toddler tea Tuesday,
the
I think.
The joy
we need
of it is.
Very,
I don't,
very close to hangover time. Let's be honest.
The joy is that, yeah, I don't do it very often. So it feels like such a glorious,
indulgence,
naughty, indulgent, yeah, treat. Because you know that you're not supposed to eat fish fingers, mash, and beans for your dinner every night. So I don't. I eat, you know, yeah, sea bass and kale.
So you enjoy it when you
really enjoy, yeah, it.
I think the ultimate guilty pleasure is putting foods together that are against the rules.
Ooh, do you know what
I
mean?
Like, I don't know, like maybe like you can't be bothered having to cook when you get in, so you might make some Weetabix and then have a glass of wine. I have actually done that.
Yeah, that's like breakfast meets nighttime. Yeah, yeah.
That's like,
and how is that? Does it complement the wine?
Pretty rough. You kind of end up just chucking out the Weetabix and just
stick with the wine. Yeah. Do you have a food guilty, yeah, pleasure, Mel?
Gosh, it would have to be a chip butty, I think, but proper,
yeah,
chip shop chips,
yeah,
with loads of salt and vinegar.
We're both northern,
yeah,
we get it.
Yeah, yeah, mushy peas.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a balm.
You know what, though, talking about toddler teas, toddlers are so sophisticated now. I mean, my little girl's 7, but for a long time, she's been really adventurous with food, you know. So we'll be going out for lunch, and I'll be like, oh, you know, where do you want to go? She's like, can we go for sushi? Really? It's amazing. Yeah. You know, they're growing up in such a different world, yeah, aren't they?
I'm so, yeah, jealous of that. I'm not going to say who, but I know a grown woman, like over 30, who for 15 years, and probably even more now actually, hasn't eaten anything but chips and bread. And my daughter is an incredibly fussy eater.
Oh,
so I'm living in terror. I keep thinking, she'll grow out of it, she'll grow out of it. And I've met somebody who has not
grown out of it.
So to hear someone's got a 7-year-old who says, oh, please, can we have sushi? Just makes me want to weep.
Oh,
I love you, Evie. I love you, really. Try something different.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's hard, though, I think, for a lot of kids. I mean, I'm so lucky because she does try all kinds. She's really adventurous.
And has that come from you, or is that like the kids that she meets at school, or a bit of a mix of,
yeah,
both?
I think it's a mix, really, because, you know, meeting other kids who are in a very similar environment, you know, and they are really fussy and will only eat, you know, a couple of things. But from, yeah, quite a young age, she used to ask me for like broccoli and salmon when she was like 2.5.
I mean,
like,
that's not 2-year-old.
Little weirdo.
It is a bit weird. I mean, yeah, maybe she gets it from her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's blame him.
He's not northern, is he?
No, he's not. No, he isn't.
Oh, toddler teas, I think that's going to catch on. What toddler tea are you going to have tonight, Lynn?
Oh, gosh.
I think sausage is the good toddler tea.
Sausage sandwiches.
Alphabetti spaghetti.
I just said it like a toddler.
Alphabetti spaghetti.
You're
going to write your name in it.
Shove your head in the bowl.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to toddler tea tonight.
Hashtag toddler tea. It's happening.
Is that enough time?
Yeah, that's lovely.
All right, I'm going to do a round of...
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, now that everybody's sophisticated menu plans are set for the evening, I just want to thank you so much for being here today, Mel C.
Yeah,
it's been an absolute pleasure, and I cannot wait to hear more of your album. It came out 21st of October. It's out now, right? Version,
yeah,
of Me.
That's right.
And single...
Single Anymore.
Yes.
And there'll be another single in the next few weeks and a tour in the new year.
And I'm looking forward to seeing much more of your new album Wardrobe, which we've been delighted with today.
I think you're going to like it.
Thank you so much. thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Glamour's Hey It's OK podcast. And we'd love you to visit iTunes and subscribe. Leave a review if you like, especially if it's a nice one, if you like what you hear. And we want to hear from you guys. If you've got some ideas about any topics you want us to discuss and debate very, very seriously about whether or not they're OK, tweet us at GlamourMagUK using the hashtag Hey It's OK. If you just can't get enough of us and you want to see some behind-the-scenes pictures of this glamorous pod cover, then you need to get onto Instagram and search the hashtag GlamourHeyIt'sOkay. Finally, I just want to say thanks very much to our friends at Wired Magazine. The Glamour pod cover is actually their pod cover. We love you guys. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.